Wow, what a journey already. It's amazing, yeah? And we've had a great morning this morning. And we're going to have another testimony this morning, and I'm going to introduce Helen, and Helen's going to tell you her story. And I know that many of you know something of her story already, but there's a lot of you that don't know either. So we're just going to get straight on with it. So, Helen, why don't you, first of all, just introduce yourself to everybody. Tell us who Helen Locke is.
Okay, I'm Helen. I'm married to Steve. We have four gorgeous children. One of them's over there, but I won't point her out. And I work, I have two jobs. I work for Care for the Family part-time, and I work for my local doctor's surgery in Dinas Powys as well. And I also run a charity called GMI.
Wow, a charity. Head of a charity. Wow, that's fantastic. So you're the chair of GMI. Tell us a little bit about what GMI is and what is it that you're doing as part of that charity.
Okay, well, GMI stands for Gulu Mission Initiative, and we work in northern Uganda. And we have sort of three streams or pillars to our work. We first of is education. So we run a school in Gulu. It's a primary school at the moment, but we are at the very nervous point of now going on to build a high school. And we also do community growth. About 4 years ago, I really felt when I was out there that lots of pastors just pop up anywhere, and they have churches under trees, and they just pop up anywhere, and they'll do it anywhere, which is fantastic, but they don't receive any training themselves. They do this year in, year out. And I really felt that God was saying to me we needed to teach them. And so 4 years ago, we got a team and we took them and we started a leadership conference, and that was 4 years ago, and we've been doing it since. And the other strand is that we do social action and healthcare. So we have trained 90 rural health workers to help with maternal death and the lack of, just to bring in. So we have a paramedic, a nurse, a midwife that go over with us and train local. They call them house mothers, who literally, because the houses or the huts are so far away, they can't get to any hospital or health centre. It's really important that we have these house mothers trained. And so that's what we've been doing. We've trained 90 of them so far.
Okay, that's great. And I think we've got a short clip of the school and the surrounding area, just to give you a flavour. That's absolutely incredible. So that's fantastic. But I know that that's, you know, taken a while to get here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how it all started for you?
Okay, it was in 2002, and we were living in Maidstone, and we were attending St Luke's Church at the time. And somebody said to me, there's a team of us going out to Uganda. Would you like to come? We're going to John Malindi, who's running a prayer conference. And he said, would I like to go?
Right. So who's John Malindi? What is he?
John Malindi is, he's an international speaker, but he's more of a prayer warrior, very focused on prayer, and they get people from all around the world to this prayer conference, which takes place in January each year.
Right, okay. So how did that feel to you about going out there?
Well, I have to say, I said, no, thank you. I've got two small children. Why on earth would I want to go all the way that far away from my children? And I was one of the people that used to sit right at the back, not pointing at anybody and why you sat at the back, but I used to sit at the back because I was really quiet and didn't say boo to a goose or anything. And but just really felt that God was saying to me, you've got to go. So I did the thing that everybody does, is give God a list of things that he needs to sort out before going, which is what I did. And amazingly enough, God sorted out everything, like finances, sorted the children, my husband and everything. And then I found out that I was on a plane to Uganda. And I have to say, as soon as I hit the ground in Uganda, I fell in love with the place and the people, and it got my heart. But then following that year, I then took my own team, because we'd moved to churches by then, moved area, because Steve had changed his job. We went to St Mary's in Horsley in Surrey, and I took teams then with me to Uganda to experience what I'd experienced. I'd learned so much, I'd come back so passionate about that I wanted other people to come with me too. But it was then I met a person called Robert, who called himself a young evangelist. He went out and doing, in Uganda they call them crusades or mini missions. And so I met with him in 2002. And then it was in 2007 I had a dream. Now I never usually have a dream, but it was such a vivid dream. I was stood in a building, I was stood on the stage with a really good friend of mine next to me. There were stairs going up either side with a big balcony, and in the background was a lake, a really big lake. And because it was so strong, I emailed Robert this dream. And he just said, without any prompting at all, he said, I'm going to send you some photographs. And those photographs were my dream. And he then said to me, well, why don't you come and join me in my work? We want to build a church, or do a church. We've got 4 months to do it, and you need to raise £12,000. Well, I just said to God, no, I can't do this. Who am I to do this? So anyway, what happened was, yes, I did step out eventually and did obey. And it was the day before I had £11,000, and the day before I needed the £12,000, somebody rang me and said, how much do you need? I'm coming round now and write you the cheque. So we had £12,000 and needed. And the £12,000 was going towards to set up a church. We flew a PA system over there. But more importantly, they wanted to do a mission, a big mission in the north of Uganda, because I was in Kampala at this time. The biggest thing for me also, when we went and did, so that was in 2007, we opened the church, we did a big celebration, but we also went up north and did this mission. We went to IDP camps. Now, everybody in Uganda at the time, because of the 20-year war that had gone on, were living in IDP camps, and they were horrendous places. I cannot tell you how awful they were. But we went and did a crusade there. And it was the first time I'd ever given my testimony. I'd never even stood up in church and given my testimony. But in front of 15,000 people, I stood up on the stage in this massive field and gave my testimony. So, yeah.
Yeah, so 15,000 people, that's pretty impressive.
It was.
So the church is established. Mm-hmm. It's up and running. What happened next?
Well, we had a small group in the church that were financially supporting each month. But it was May 2009, so the church had been running 2 years. I had an email from the landlord, because we were paying rent, to say that he'd not been receiving his rent money. And so I, with two of my close friends, two guys, felt that we needed to sort things out. So we flew over. And to cut a very long story short, Robert, who is the pastor of this church, became very angry with us because he felt that we didn't trust him. We went to the office to find files and all the financial data and everything. None of it was there. He wouldn't let us see his laptop. So what he did then was he hired some hitmen to intimidate us. And boy, did they intimidate us. We had our phones tapped. We had people taking photographs of us in hedges. And we were put under house arrest for 3 days. Now, I know this all happened because one of the guys that I was with is an ex-British Army soldier. And he had contacts, so knew about all these details. And he could spy everything. He said, look, you can see that camera there, and you could. And what Robert wanted to do was have me separated from my two team members. But we weren't allowed to go anywhere. But he wanted me taken to a safe house. Now, a safe house isn't a safe house. What you think of it is, it's where you would be raped, tortured, and killed. And he wanted me taken there. He was that furious with us. When we were in the IDP camp in the north of Uganda, we met the top guy in government, Martin Mapinduzi. We'd only met him once, but because we were in such trouble, we didn't think we were going to get out of the, back to the UK. We phoned James, who we'd met there, and that's his cousin. So as soon as they heard the problems we were in, they came down 6 hours on a bus straight away to help us, to mediate a meeting with Robert and his hired men, which I have to say was really, really frightening. And it's the first time I've ever experienced somebody with the devil inside them. As he was talking, this is Robert, as he was talking, his voice suddenly changed and a different voice then came out. And it was, it was a very frightening time. So we did eventually have that meeting, but we still weren't allowed to leave the UK, to the UK. Robert had also planted his wallet in my laptop bag, and I just felt a prompting from God to say, just look in your laptop bag. There was no reason why I needed to do that, but I did, and the wallet was there. And then I was able to just ring him and say, your wallet's here, I'll get it to you. But he wanted me arrested, and I would have been in jail for that.
So, wow. Yeah. Wow, that must have been really tough, just a really difficult place to be, you know, somebody that you trusted and, you know, seeing this vision come to birth and then have it all seemingly sort of start to fall apart. Mm-hmm. Amazing, though, that you had those help you, you know, what an incredible provision they were. And I guess, I mean, thinking about this, you know, I thought, you know, that's just enough, you know, that's enough. You know, why didn't you quit then? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that made you go back? You know, I mean, after, you know, for any of us to kind of go, you know what, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead, you know.
Probably imagine I was absolutely devastated by this when I returned to the UK, because I'd really felt that God had called me to do this. And I really stood strong on his promises that's what I should do. And the hardest thing for me was having to stand up in a church that had committed a lot of money to build this, do this church. I had to stand up and say, we're closing the church. And I felt totally humiliated, absolutely humiliated. It was an awful time. But, you know, I still believed God was calling me to Uganda. So that was the May, June, and I actually returned in the October. I hadn't had any contact with Robert at all since then. But I had a real sense that everything was going to be okay. I then went to meet James, Pastor James, and Phoebe, who we had met in the IDP camps, and his wife Phoebe, who now we work with. But I heard Phoebe's story. I don't know if any of you know much about the war in north of Uganda, but Joseph Kony, who was leader of the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, he felt that he was told by the Holy Spirit to abduct children and go to war against the Ugandan government. And so he abducted thousands and thousands of children from the north. And there's a mango tree just hundreds of yards away from our school. And the story is that they were having a marketplace really early in the morning, and there were children up in the trees. And as soon as the marketplace was full and flowing, they massacred everyone. This is what the children were told to do. They were brainwashed, abducted, brainwashed, and taught to kill. And they were as young as five. And Phoebe's family were abducted. Her brother was taken. Her father died because of the shock of that. Pastor James had been abducted three times but managed to escape. So the families then had to flee. They had to leave their homes and their communities, and this is how they ended up in the IDP, which are internally displaced people's camps. And they lived there for 20 years. The war ended in 2008. Phoebe really felt that she wanted to bring something back to her community. And the best thing that you can bring something back is education. It's turning that cycle of poverty, and that's what she wanted to bring. So she had the great vision. She'd gathered enough money to build 3 classrooms. But when I met her, she said that she didn't have any more money and she didn't quite know how the school would progress. She had 40 children at that time. So I went back to my hotel room after hearing her story and sobbed uncontrollably. And I know God has a plan for us, and this was part of God's plan. It wasn't a great way of getting to this plan. I wouldn't want to go over it again. But, you know, when you're walking in God's plan, his plan's always the best for you. So I said to Phoebe, I said, you know, I'm only me. I didn't do very well in school. I've got no qualifications. I haven't got a clue how I'm going to do this, but I'm going back to the UK. We will set it up as a charity and we will build your school for you. And that's what happened. So speeding the story forward, we've now completed the primary school. Yay! We've got 9 classrooms, a head teacher's room, a storeroom, a sick room, a night guard's room, a kitchen, and 600 beautiful children. Right. And now our next venture is the high school.
Wow, that's just amazing. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, it's just amazing to see how all of that has, you know, has developed and has come on out of what was a difficult circumstance. But and I know that things have been developing really well. And there's, you know, great work that has been achieved and, you know, looking forward to what is to come. But I know that even within this time, that it hasn't been plain sailing as well. So, and you've really come up against some stiff opposition. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Okay, so in 2010, I set up it as a charity. Things were going really, really well until 2012. When I had that awful, but nobody wants that phone call from HMRC to say that one of your trustees has been investigated for money laundering and gift aid fraud. I absolutely went to pieces. I couldn't believe it. After everything I'd been through, God, how could you do this again? Or I felt that it was just like, am I in the right place? Am I doing what I should be doing? I had a criminal investigator come and I had to give a statement, and he could just tell that I was really genuine, that I loved what we were doing, but he just wanted a conviction. And his words to me were, I don't care how I'm going to get that conviction, but I am going to get it. And I just thought, we're doomed. I don't know what he's done, but we're doomed. It wasn't to do with our charity, it was all to do with his businesses. But because he had been a trustee right at the beginning, that's why I needed to be interviewed. I have to say I didn't cope with the situation at all well. I ended up going to see a counsellor for 6 weeks. Actually, I only got to week 5 because this counsellor during my time said to me, I just want you to think about a bus. And in this bus are faceless people. And she said, I want you to put pictures to these faces if you can. And I was trying really, really hard to put faces, and I couldn't. I said, I can't put faces to the people, but I can put a face to the driver, and that driver is Jesus. She stopped me there and she said, you don't need any more counselling. She said, you know where your strength is, and your strength is in your faith. So funny enough, I work in surgery with her now. trustee was convicted in 2013 and went to jail for a number of years. He's out now. But to have the phone call from HMRC to say that the case is closed. But I actually couldn't move forward. I had this total numbness. It would just put me in total shock. So I didn't feel I could really move forward. But
yeah. So, I mean, you've come out of that really difficult time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, looking back over everything that, you know, that has been achieved and that, you know, to see what's going on now and going into the future, you must have learnt an incredible amount of stuff along the way. Mm. But what for you has been the most important thing that you know, that you've learnt that you would want to pass on to us as an encouragement today?
I think, I know that God has always been with me. And there was a plan for my life, and it wasn't a particularly nice plan. But what I did was in stepping out, in doing what God has called me to do. And yes, we've had challenges, and I'm sure there's going to be challenges ahead. But when you're so confident in what God has called you to do, don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. And even if you haven't got that confidence to step out, I would say just do it. Just do it, and don't worry about what's ahead. So, yeah.
Great. Helen, thank you for sharing your story with us. Let's encourage her. Yeah. Come on. It is an amazing thing, you know, to know that God is with us, that he is with us. And the reality is that when we are with God, you know, we will face opposition. You know, Jesus made that very clear. He didn't say it's all going to be, you know,